Steve Dale's Petcast. Pets are always there for you. They're a dependable source of unconditional love and support. For a short time, they're your best friend. But for them, you're their best friend for their entire lives. This is Steve Dale's Petcast, brought to you by Farm to Pet, single ingredient pet treats. Visit farmtopettreats.com.
He is amazing, the chief medical officer at DVM 360. Veterinarians certainly know who this guy is. Now you will. His name is Dr. Adam Christman, and he will talk about what's going to be new in 2025 for all of you in veterinary medicine. Hello, Dr. Christman.
Hi, my friend. How's it going?
It's going good. Thank you. So the first thing I think about would be artificial intelligence. Because you know what? You open up any magazine, any newspaper, anytime, anywhere, and you're reading about it. What's more, in human health, we're beginning to hear about that. Is it beginning to creep into veterinary medicine as well?
Yes, it is. That's what I always say. AI, AI, oh, it's here.
It is.
It is both from behind the scenes for pet parents and veterinary medicine. A lot of it, just examples would be x-rays and cytology, even how we write up our medical notes. And then from the pet parent standpoint, things such as smart collars and AI gadgets and biometric health monitoring, GPS tracking, even training tools that can actually look at things to see if the dogs or cats are even engaging with certain commands, and then also pain recognition, which I think is really remarkable, that it can actually detect facial recognition to see if a dog or a cat is experiencing any signs of pain or even fear, anxiety, and stress, and what they can do about those things with their veterinarian.
All right, so I want to back up and take some of those things one at a time, if you will. So, pets should be microchipped. I suspect you agree with that. Do you think that microchipping at some point in time, not today to be clear, will become unnecessary or obsolete because we'll have other ways, such as those GPS collars, that might even be more efficient?
I don't. I really don't. Because I think a microchip is the social security number to your pet. And that can never go away or leave. Things, other things that we're talking about needs to be charged or on. And so, you know, as much as we want them to be battery, but how many times do you have to keep the battery on and charging things on our devices? So I think it's a good thing to have in conjunction with the microchip. By all means, I think it's, you know, you can have a monitoring system or smart collars. I love them. But I do think having that microchip is just that peace of mind. Hopefully you keep it up to date to obviously change of ownership, change of address, any other things. However, I don't know if you know this, Steve. Did you know?
Yes.
There is a microchip now that actually can store your pet's medical records. So it's the same microchip that you would use for, you know, that you and I are familiar with. But then they come to see me, the veterinarian, and I scan them. And their medical records can now be stored on that microchip. So that way they'll know, oh my gosh, you know, I forget if they're due for the rabies vaccine or, you know, we moved and I didn't get the pet's medical records. Now everything could be stored on that microchip.
Wow.
And uploaded into an iCloud-based software. Yeah.
I honestly did not know that. And I would think this would be useful if a Chicagoan wants to, I don't know why a Chicagoan would want to spend summer, I mean, winter in Florida. But let's say someone goes to Florida, Arizona, right? So the veterinarian will be able to scan this because relying on the pet owner's memory is sometimes, you know, not perfect. And this would be a great way to see what that veterinarian way back in Chicago said about that pet.
Yes. And think about those heaven forbid natural disasters that happen, that we've been getting, you know, and sometimes your records, I know one of my friends, all of her records were completely destroyed just because they're all wet from, you know, the hurricane. So being that everything goes up to date and a chip would be amazing. And, you know, again, should they be lost, they can really reconnect them much better. So,
do you count your steps, Dr. Christman?
My watch does it for me. Can you imagine me doing, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but
I don't mean that way. I meant your watch or some other means or your phone Yeah, right. I could see you in the middle of the day going to lunch and not talking to whoever you're going with because you're 975, 976. Right. No, I don't mean it that way. All right. So is it beneficial to have a gadget, which you're talking about, to count steps for our pets as well, cats included?
Yes, 100%. I mean, you know, more than half of our animals, unfortunately, are overweight or obese. And so, hey, if we can kind of count the steps to their paws and making sure that movement, as we know, is so important for them to, you know, shed some pounds. And obviously for mobility purposes, even in our aging pets, so important to look at that because, yeah, it helps with our modalities. In fact, now it's part of our multimodal approach to managing overweight and obese pets is using smart collar devices or similar to kind of put a plan together with pet parents to say, okay, yep, he went to doggy daycare on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Here's how many steps he was doing during playtime. So that can really help customize. I mean, we're all talking about 2025. It's all going to be about individualized care. But, I mean, imagine what that customizable care looks like to the dog that is going to doggy daycare versus the cat that's living in a high-rise apartment in Chicago that has different wants and needs, but we can cater that accordingly differently with the veterinarian in play. So I just think having that extra tool is so crucial.
You know, you and I often talk about One Health, meaning the connection that we have with our pets. Very often, what can help us or hurt us can help or hurt our pets as well. Here's what I'm getting at. Do you see a day when, and it's actually begun to happen a bit, when human physicians will prescribe get a dog following someone maybe having heart surgery or having a hip replacement because that physician wants that human being to move, to take walks. And one way to do that is to get a dog. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. I know Dr. Ed Cregan, those of you may or may not know him.
Yeah, I do.
A great New York Times bestseller, right? And he, as an oncologist, would write prescriptions to his patients to get a pet for their emotional connection that they have. And exactly to your point, for movement. I mean, we all know the importance of a movement, but you know what it also gives us too, Steve, is purpose. You know, nothing gets me more out of bed knowing that my dogs are staring at me to say, hey, I need to go out.
Yeah.
Right? But they call it what it is. You got to let them out or you got to feed the cat. It's great purpose. It's great connection. And everyone wins with movement and exercise. So, yeah.
I want to get back to the GPS collars. So not only do they determine, and there's so many choices out there, but not only do they do many of them, all of them, determine where that pet is located because of the GPS. So if the dog gets out of the yard or the cat hasn't come back in a few days and that's an outdoor cat or indoor outdoor cat, you can learn all this just by checking your telephone. But some of these collars do much more than that, Dr. Chrisman.
Yeah. Yeah, they can measure heart rate, respiratory rate, and just movement in terms of if they had potentially a seizure that you didn't know that happened at 2 o'clock in the morning, or if the collar is really being detected that there is excessive movement for itchiness. I mean, we have chronic allergy dogs and cats out there, and sometimes we don't know if medications are working or do we need to taper, change the dosing or frequency. And having that component is a huge player to how we go about changing. I had a woman last month when I was working in the exam room, she had a smart collar on her Labrador Retriever that was on a long-term medication for itchies. And I said, based upon what you had, do me a favor. Let's change the dosing. Why don't we give it before bedtime? And then she called me back up and she's like, the itching is much better. The collar did not alert. She's like, it was all about changing the dosing. So if you imagine, like, we didn't have to increase it. We just had to change the time in which we gave it. So I think having that kind of synergy is really helpful, beneficial. Now there's even opportunity for even to use your smartphone to do EKG monitoring for pet owners if we're using telehealth. So there's apps now that are available that you can place the phone against the dog or cat's thorax or their chest to assess any abnormal arrhythmias. It gives us an idea and a direction. Maybe it's not 100% sensitive or specific, but it gives us, again, an idea for what we're looking for. So I think these aren't going away. The lecture that I give, there's over 300 smart collars that are out there, over 300. And so I always encourage your veterinarian to kind of select like three or four that your hospital can support or stand behind to kind of, you know, help you, the pet parent, navigate through some of the, you know, is this the data safe? Is this is it a sounded collar? Does it make sense to us? Like, I think it's kind of our responsibility as veterinary professionals to, you know, provide them with an opportunity to make a good decision for them.
You know, we're going to learn in 2025, and I could tell you more offline, that the number one cause of death in indoor cats between the, we know this, this is not what we're going to learn. The number one cause of death in indoor cats between the age of about one to, well, more like 2 or 3 years of age to about 10 years of age is actually heart disease, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Now, back in the day, I had a cat. So there's going to be a solution to this, a medication that probably will work to treat so the disease doesn't progress into heart failure, which is incredible, will save countless cat lives. But back in the day, I was told when I had a cat that had this particular disease named Ricky, I was told, and I have it still, get a stethoscope and listen to your cat's heart. And the idea is to get the heart rate. And because these cats have speedy heart rates. So now the pet parent doesn't have to pull out a stethoscope anymore. You described one way to do this, but some of these smart collars can be worn by cats for a variety of different purposes, including this one, Dr. Christman.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I love hearing that, and especially anything with heart disease. I mean, my gosh, if we could have earlier detection in our cat friends with any abnormalities in either rate, rhythm, or anything that can be detected as a murmur, oh, I call that a home run. So, yeah, that's fantastic.
Now, I know you and I talk often about something called the Assisi loop. I want you to talk about briefly what that is. But my point here is that what I just described about the cat's heart and what you're about to describe regarding the Assisi loop puts not power into the pet parents' hands, but the pet parents have the ability themselves to make a difference for their pets. And while that is obviously beneficial to the pets, okay, here's something else that could be done, and it's not even going to cost a lot of money. But beside that, I think there's the psychological benefit, probably for the pet and definitely for the pet parent. What do you think?
Yes, you bring up a really great point. 2024 is the year of the pet parent. And what I mean by that, and it's going to be even stronger into 25, is that, you know, you're in the driver's seat, pet parents. You really are. And the veterinary professional is, we're your passenger, and we're in the passenger seat helping you guide that car to making really good decisions for your pet and your dog or your cat. And, back when I first started practicing, it was reversed. It really was. And, you know, what we said mattered, and that was it. But now we leverage the conversation by saying things like, Steve, what are your thoughts on using something that has, if we, you know, manage pain at home? What are your thoughts on getting that dental cleaning done? Do you see what I'm seeing here? I'm really engaging with you more in the exam room, on social media, and beyond. And to your point about pain management, listen, pet owners want to do anything to help decrease pain in their pets. And having something like an Assisi loop that can manage multiple modalities of pain, you know, it's got that targeted pulse electromagnetic field therapy, something called TPEM. It's been around for many years, pet parents. You probably experienced it yourself because it was on the human side, but we use it for things such as arthritis or recovering from surgery or even things for dentistry. I mean, the list goes on. But it also helps you bond with your pet in a safe way, which I love. I mean, listen, we don't want them to be at the vet hospital any more than you want them there. And we now know, and there's studies and data that proves that these animals recover better, they do better when they're home with you. And so if there are things that you can do, that's why we teach you how to do things such as giving insulin and monitoring things and checking in with us via telehealth, so that way we don't have to hopefully have them come in all the time. We're all for it. So please, please, please be as proactive as you can in managing your pet's health. And I say this in a very, very strong light, Steve, and many of you may not know this, but I do go live on TikTok quite a bit, and I love talking to pet owners, and I'll share this with you all, is that you all love your pets so much, more than I have ever seen in my existence on this earth. And I'm so happy to be a veterinarian, but the point of me sharing that is that you guys want to be, and you are in control of your pet's decisions, and you realize that. You're doing phenomenal research. You're bringing us papers, not just things off of Dr. Google. You're looking at legit papers. And you're like, I don't know what this means, but I highlighted this, and this really caught my attention. What are your thoughts? That is the partnership that we have as we head into 2025.
You know, the most controversial thing, I think that you could start a bar fight talking about, you know where I'm going, probably, talking about diet. And every day, it seems, there's a new road that pet parents all in mass. It's like they've all texted one another, all 3 million or whatever the number is. It's a lot more than that of pet parents. And go down that road. Oh, no. Then they go down that road, then that road. Are you confident that we are doing better, doing the right thing as far as nutrition goes, making advances, but supporting the scientific advances, Dr. Christman, rather than what people might see on social media?
Yeah, it's there's a storm out there, Steve, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's a storm out there, and it's hard to navigate. And I always put myself in the mindset of a pet owner. I mean, they're getting hit with commercials and pop-ups and ads and, you know, people from the pet stores that are just recommending things. And then they come to us, the veterinarians, and then people on social media is like, oh, the veterinarian's being paid by the company to say that. Let me say this loud and clear. There is not a veterinarian that I know, and I know a lot of veterinarians, that are not practicing and getting paid by a company, a nutritional company, to recommend or promote a food. That will never happen. It's never going to happen. What we as veterinary professionals do is we follow the science. And so there's a lot of great science and research that's out there. It's not just one company. In fact, it's not just kibble companies. There's fresh food that's out there. There's raw food that's out there. And I think we as veterinarians have evolved in recognizing that. That, yeah, there is evidence among all three of those types of foods, and there's websites that we can direct pet owners to. But I think the best thing is always the two words that I'm always saying, balance, complete. Those are the two powerful words that you're going to look for any diet, whatever you're looking for. If you're going to home cook, I mean, I like home cooking, but I can't do it. Ain't nobody got time for that. Like, I'm lucky I can make my own food, but each his own for that. I think it's great, but there's, you know, a great website like balanceit.com, a completely free website for everyone to look in and then partner with board certified veterinary nutritionists, and there's veterinary technician specialists that are also in nutrition. So I think having that conversation to see what makes sense matters. And it's, again, it's not a one size fits all. This is individualized care. What may work for a Great Dane may not work for a Chihuahua. And so there's different, you know, nutritional wants and needs. And I think that's the beauty behind veterinary medicine and progress. Things change and we advance with that. So, yeah.
All right. Now, you mentioned something that's interesting about the Great Dane and the Chihuahua. I would argue that what might be good for my Great Dane, if I had a Great Dane, what might be good for my Great Dane is not necessarily the right thing, even my 7-year-old Great Dane is not the right thing necessarily for my friend's 7-year-old Great Dane. Individualized medicine, I believe, means individual.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the VIP no longer exists anymore, what you think it is. Everybody's important. Everyone's important. The I stands for individualized care. And exactly to your point, it depends on where that Great Dane lives, the wants and needs of that Great Dane versus another Great Dane. So you know, I know people like to share stories. I mean, me having dachshunds, of course, everyone asks, like, what do you feed your dachshunds and what do you do? I'm like, listen, they blew backs out too. Like, I'm not immune to intervertebral disc disease over here. If I did, I'd have a wand and tell everybody what the secret is. And I mean, my house looks like Shady Pines for dachshunds with ramps. And, you know, I have wheelchairs and I have carts and I have strollers. But that's what works for my house because, you know, I have dachshunds. And, of course, you know, as they get older. But, again, to your point, what I love when our animals are getting older, now we have liquid biopsy testing for cancer screening, especially yeah. Great Danes, you know, golden retrievers. There's those things. There's urine-specific tests for, you know, transitional cell carcinomas. And if you happen to own a schnauzer, you might be more interested in that because they tend to be overrepresented in that area. So, again, I just love the fact that we have these types of modalities that are available. And what we talk about in one room with one dog owner is not going to be the same with another dog owner.
Shady Pines, is that a Golden Girls reference?
You know it.
Yes, apparently I do.
You want to have cheesecake? You know what? We got to have, Steve, cheesecake on the lanai, you and I. That's it. That's what we're going to do, just like the Golden Girls.
Anytime. But before we do that, I have a question for you. You said, for those of you who watch my interviews, who see me, man, you are Mr. TikTok. How do people find you on TikTok?
Yeah, no, thank you. I love engaging with you all out there on TikTok. So Dr. Adam Christman 52 on TikTok, so dr.adam, and it should pop up there. We have a blast over there. You know, I love sharing stories. I feel like going live is so much fun, chatting with so many of you out there and having you stop me around and just thanking me. There are two stories that really resonate and stood by me that I continue to do this is because I have never met these two yet, but we have two future veterinarians. Hmm. And when I started my channel, the one girl is Michelle, another gentleman named Michael. They watched with their parents. I was on TikTok Live and back in the pandemic. And they said, I think I want to do what he's doing. It seems really cool, vet med. They were researching in it and all that stuff. And they're on their way to go into veterinary school, which is awesome. So that's my why. I love it, you know, so it's so much fun.
Well, you know, I will boast two of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten. It could have been at one of your conferences because the DVM 360 Fetch conferences you organize. I don't recall where, but I do recall exactly the words used. One, a veterinary technician who went into the business of being a veterinary technician, went to school and all that, somehow because of me. And a veterinarian, the same story. I mean, I can't think of a greater compliment. I can't think of a greater ambassador for veterinary medicine than Dr. Adam Christman. It is always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me, my friend.
We're finished.
That's it.
That's it.
You've been listening to the Petcast Podcast, brought to you by Farm to Pet, single ingredient pet treats. Visit farmtopettreats.com.